Okay, good morning. Today's daf is Baba Kama daf Chaf Tes. We have more ground to make up than we had yesterday. We left off on Chaf Ches Amud Beis, toward the middle of the Amud, or not even at the middle of the Amud. But we're going to have to back up a little bit. We're discussing a case of slip and fall in Talmudic times, and we saw Machlokas yesterday. Just 30 seconds of overview as to what the daf is going to be. It's going to be primarily about the case of slip and fall and whether we view an object that is left in the public domain that is not declared ownerless. We saw Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Is that object considered to be a bar or is it considered to be a shor? So what's the nafkaminas? If it's considered to be a shor, like Rav holds, then it is chayev, then you are chayev for damage that it causes to kalim. Because if your shor damages a kli, then you're chayev for that. If it's considered to be a bar, as Shmuel holds, then it would not be chayev for damage caused to kalim. So we are going to continue discussing that machlokas. And then the majority of the rest of the daf is going to talk about tripping and whether one who slips or one who trips is considered to be liable for tripping. The distinction between damage caused during a fall and damage caused after a fall. And then we're going to talk about one who is mafkir his niskav. In other words, if somebody slips, falls in the public domain, drops something, and then attempts to be mafkir that thing that he dropped, is the fact that he makes the thing hefker, is that going to be effective in absolving him from any liability? So let's pick up towards the top of Chaf Ches Amud Beis. Actually, we'll go quickly, hopefully, and make up some of the ground about 2, 4, 6, 8 lines down. The word musiv is the second word on the line. So in any event, we had seen a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, that if somebody leaves a hazardous object and Rosh Hasharabim is not mafkirit, Rav says it's an ox, therefore it's chayev, therefore he's chayev for damage done to kalim. We saw yesterday that Rav said in the case where the guy cracks his pitcher, water falls on Rosh Hasharabim, then he is chayev. If somebody slips on the water, he is chayev to the extent the person's clothing is soiled by the water because it has a din of shor. Shmuel classifies it as a pit and therefore as a bar, and therefore the owner of the object is not liable for damage caused to kalim. So the Gemara is now going to bring a brisa that's going to contradict both the shitas of Rav and of Shmuel. So says the Gemara like this: Masav Rav Hoshaya, v'nafal shama shor o chamor, shor velo adam, chamor velo kalim. So this teaches us that if there is a bar then one is liable only for damage done to a shor or a chamor, but not to kalim. Ikan amru nafal etocho shor v'kalav. Therefore, we see that if there was a pit and both a shor and kalim that the shor is carrying fall into the pit, vinishtabru, and the kalim break, chamor v'kalav v'niskru, and or a chamor and kalim that it's carrying fall into the pit and those kalim that the chamor is carrying rip, then chayev ala behemo patur ala kalim. He's going to be chayev on the behemo, is going to be patur on kalim. Why? Because this thing left in the public domain has a din of bar. Okay, so halamaze dome la'avano v'sakino maso sheniham v'shos rabim v'ziko. What is this din? What is this halacha of bar like? What is it? What is it analogous to? It's analogous to a case where a person left a rock or a knife or anything else in Rosh Hasharabim, and it caused damage, that you would only be chayev for damage that it causes to a person, but not damage that it causes to a kli. So says the Gemara, your comparison is exactly backwards. So adarava, ma dome lazemi boile. It should have said, what are avano, sakino, and maso dome to? Why? Because the case of bar is the case that's written in the Torah. The case of avano, sakino, maso is a case that we're extrapolating from bar, that we're saying that it has the same halacha as bar. So you wouldn't say, oh, what is bar like? Bar is like avano, sakino, maso. Just the opposite. If you want to say that avano, sakino, maso have a din of bar, you would compare those things to bar. So elamai doma lazeh, says the Gemara, enechanami, you're right. That's what it means. It means what is like the case of bar, where you are putter for damage caused to Kalim. Avono v'sakino umaso shenicham v'shos rabim v'ziko. Okay, now the second part of the Braisa says like this. Lefichach, therefore, im etiach tzluchos of be'even, if somebody rubs his tzluchos, his flask, against a rock, then chayev. Then he's going to be chayev. Okay, so in other words, if somebody, this now tells me that if somebody leaves a rock in Rishos HaRabim, and somebody else walks in the Rishos HaRabim and rubs against the rock, and his kli breaks, his sluchas breaks, in that case, the Bala Evan is going to be chayev for the damage caused to the kalim. So says the Gemara, well, Reisha Kasha LaRav, the Reisha where we say that the Evan has a din of a bar, and therefore it's potter for damage caused to kalim, that is a Kasha to Rav, because Rav had likened this hazardous object left in the public domain to a shor. V'seifa, and the Seifa, where it says that you're chayev for damage caused to a kli, mashma that as a din of a shor is going to be a kasha to Shmuel, because Shmuel says that something left in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim as a din of a bar, and therefore you're putter from damage caused to a kli. So says the Gemara, okay, so you're trying to ask me now a kasha on Rav and Shmuel, but ul tlamech tikshe lecha hi gufa. Reisha Pater Vaseifa Chayev? Stop asking me Akasha Rav and Shmuel. The Braisa itself is contradictory. The Braisa tells me two things. The first part of the Braisa tells me that if something is left in the public domain, it is potter for damage caused to Kalim. The second part of the Braisa says that if somebody leaves a rock in the public domain and a kli is damaged, then the Balo Evan is going to be chayev for the damage caused to the kli. So are you potter or are you chayev for damage caused to a kli by a rock left in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? The Braisa itself is contradictory on this. So says the Gemara, El Rav Mataritz Letamei, Yishmuel Mataritz Letamei. Well, both Rav and Shmuel can touch up the Braisa according to their own reasoning. How? So Rav Mataritz Letamei, so Rav will be Mataritz according to his own reasoning. Bamedvorim Amurim, when are we talking about Kishef Kiran? That when are we talking about that you're potter for damage caused to Kalim? That's only when you were mafgir the object. Avalo if Kiran, however, if you were not mafgir the object, chayev, you are going to be chayev for damage caused to Kalim. Lefichach, hitiach sluchosav be'even, therefore, if somebody walks past a stone that you left in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and you were not mafgir the stone, and that stone damages the person's kalim, that stone damages the person's sluchas, then it's going to be chayiv. So says Rav. Rav says, yeah, I do hold that something left in the public domain is going to be chayiv for damage caused to kalim, but only where you weren't mafgarit. If you were mafgarit, it's going to be potter. Ushmul mataritz letameyet. Shmuel is going to explain according to his own reason as follows. Sahashad amrit avano sakino maso kiboro dami. That which we say that avano sakino maso is like bar, and therefore you're going to be putter for damage caused to kalim. So l'Rav Yehuda the mechayev al niske kalim l'Rav Yehuda the mechayev al niske kalim babar. Now that this is according to Rav Yehuda's mechayev al niske kalim babar lefichach hitiach silchosa be'even chayev. Therefore, if, according to Rav Yehuda, who says that by a bar in a chanami, you are chayev for damage caused to kalim, well, then if you're going to view it as a bar, according to the Shita Rav Yehuda, and you leave a rock in a public domain, somebody comes along with its sluchas, and the sluchas is damaged by the rock, then you're going to be chayev according to the Shita of Rav Yehuda. So Amar Rav Elazar, lo shanu, this entire case is only dealing, elesh niskal be'even, this is only, what's that case of where you're walking in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and you damage your tzluchas on the Evan that somebody left there. This is only when you tripped on the Evan, v'noshuf be'evan, and you knocked your tzluchas against the Evan. Aval niskal bekarka v'noshuf be'evan. However, what happens if, yeah, in a chanami, somebody did leave his rock in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but the person didn't trip on the rock, the person just stumbled on the ground. Then, while he was falling, he knocked his tzluchas, he knocked his flask against the Evan and damaged the flask. In that case, it would be putter. Why? Because the Evan didn't cause the damage. The Evan was the thing that actually damaged that actually damaged the tzluchis, but the evan wasn't the cause of the damage. What was the root cause of the damage? The fact that the guy stumbled on the karka. So who would say that he's putter in that case? Come on, delo k'Rav Nosson. It's not like Rav Nosson. Why? Because we'll see that Rav Nosson holds that the Niza can collect from the owner of the object on which his kalim was damaged, even if that object didn't cause the fall. So in other words, Rav Nosson says it's enough that this object caused the damage, that's enough to be mechayev him. So says the Gemara, Ika Damri, others say like this, Amar Rav Elazar, Lo Teima Beniskal Be'evim Minasha Be'evim, don't say that we're talking only about a case where the guy tripped on the rock and then his flask was damaged by the rock. The mechayev, Amal Niskal Be'kalkar Be'nasha Be'evim Pater, but if the guy were to trip or stumble on the karka, and then his flask were damaged by the evan, then he would be putter. Elafilu nisko bakarka v'nasha be'evan chayev. Rather, even if he stumbles on the ground and then his flask is damaged by the rock, he's going to be chayev. Come on, Rav Nosson. This is like the sheet of Rav Nosson again, who said that you could collect from the object that caused the damage, even if that object did not cause you to fall. So that's how both Rav and Shmuel would explain this contradictory brisa according to their own reasoning. Says the Gemara now weiter, two dots toward the bottom of Chaf Chesam and Beis. So Rav Yudomer b'miskavein chayim. So we had said in the Mishnah that where the owner of the pitcher had intent in doing something, then he's going to be chayev for damage that the pitcher or that the water that fell from the pitcher caused to somebody else. So says the Gemara, what exactly does this mean? Hechadami miskaven. What does it mean that he was? What does it mean that he was miskaven? What kavana did the owner of the pitcher have to have? So Amar Rabba b'miskaven lo rido lamata miksefo, that he intended on, he was carrying the pitcher on his shoulder, and he intended to lower the pitcher from his shoulder and set it on the ground. The guy, during the course of lowering the pitcher from his shoulder to the ground, stumbled. That's when the pitcher fell. And we say that the niskal is like a poshea. We say that one who stumbles is like a poshea. Samarle Abaya, Michlal de Mechayev Rav Meir, Afilu Nifshara. Now, what we said in the Mishnah was we brought down the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. We brought down the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that b'miskaven chayev, b'ena miskaven potter, that you're only chayev. Let's back up. The Mishnah had said, Nishbara kado b'rishas harabim. Let's say he's carrying something and it breaks in rishas harabim. Somebody else slipped in the water, or was injured by a shard, chayev. So stam mishnah, that's Rav Meir, blanket chayev, you're chayev for whatever happens. Rav Yehuda omer b'miskaven chayev. Rav Yehuda says that the only time the Baal HaChavis is going to be chayev is if he intended to put the chavis down to the ground at the time that he's stumbling, and stumbling is considered to be a poshea. Now says the Gemara, back in the Gemara now, it's mashma that Rav Meir, who doesn't distinguish between miskaven and not, is afilu nifshara, is going to be mechayev the guy for the breaking of the pitcher and the spilling of the water in Rishos Harabim, even if he didn't have any kavana, meaning even if the guy was carrying a pitcher on his shoulder, all of a sudden the pitcher just burst spontaneously, then the guy's going to be chayev for damage that caused by the pitcher bursting? That doesn't make any sense. So, because Rashi says that's an ones gomer, so how are you going to be mechayev somebody for an ones? Some are lay in, says the Gemara. Yeah, well, that's the Shita. Mechayev hoy rameir afilu ones, afilu azna biyado. That rameir would say that you're chayev even if you're carrying a pitcher in Rosh Hashanah by the handle and you're left holding the handle. What does it mean that you're left holding the handle? It means that the rest of the pitcher just burst. Nevertheless, Rav Meir would say that you're chayev for that. Why? Amai onesu va'ones rachmana patre, says the Gemara, that that's an ones, and generally the Torah is not mechayev you for onesin that happened. Tichsev l'nara lo sase davar, it says that you're not going to do anything to the nara who was raped because she didn't do anything. It was an ones as far as she was concerned. V'chitei mahani milinin katola v'linin nezikin chayev. And if you want to say, well, no, the only time that the Torah absolves liability for an ones is where the liability is, where the punishment would be murder, where the punishment would be misa. However, if the punishment is going to be mammon, maybe the Torah does not absolve you from liability, even in the case of ones, says the Gemara. Well, that's not a good distinction. Vatanya, but we learn in another brisa, nishbura kado velo solko, if a person's kad breaks and he does not remove it, nafal gamlo velo hemido, if a person's camel falls and he does not stand it up, in the Rishos HaRabim, Rav Meir mechayev behezekan, Rav Meir says that you're chayev behezek, v'chachamim omrim potter midine adam v'chayev bedine shemayim, and the chachamim say that you're potter midine adam, and you're chayev bedine shemayim. Why are you going to be potter midine adam? We'll see in the Gemara. Why are you chayev bedine shemayim? Because you didn't remove the mess, right? You created a mess in Rishos HaRabim, and you just left it there. But says the Gemara, top of Chav Tesam and Aleph now, Umodim Chachamim L'Rab Meir, but the Chachamim agree to Rab Meir, Bavano V'sakino Maso She'nicham Baro Shagag, that if you leave any of these objects on the top of the roof, enough L'Baruach Mitsuya, and they fell in a common wind, in other words, a wind that was common for that locale and for that time came, blew this stuff off the roof, Ve'ziko, and they caused damage, Shu'chayev, that he's going to be chayev. Why? Because, well, that's not an ones, that's considered to be a poshea, because they fell from the roof with a ruach mitsuya, meaning that you should not have left these objects near the tip of the roof, near the edge of the roof. Umode Rameir l'Rabbanan, and Rameir is now going to agree to the Rabbanan, B'mayle kankanim alagag, if a person is lining up his jugs, his flasks on the roof, al menas lenagvan, to dry them out, v'naflu beruach she'eina metsuya ve'ziko, and then an uncommonly strong wind comes along and blows the stuff down from the roof, shu putter, that it's going to be putter. So why is he putter? He's putter because it's an ones. Why is it an ones? Because he brought the vessels up to his roof to dry, and a ruach she'ena metsuya came and blew them down. That's not a poshea, it was a ruach she'ena metsuya. So we see now that Rav Meir is going to say that you are putter for an ones. So why in our Mishnah, where the Stam Mishnah, would Rav Meir seem to say that you're chayev, even if you were not a poshea, that you're chayev even for an ones gomer? It's contradictory. Selam Rabaya, says Abaya, betarte pligi. Because we're actually dealing with two different cases. Pligi b'shas nefila, there are two machlokes in here. Pligi b'shas nefila, the first machlokes is at the time of the fall. Tosfos says shas nefila means at the time of the fall itself and until the item can be cleared away. So they're arguing about whether there was liability at the shas nefila, upligi la'achar nefila, and they also argue what the status of this thing is after it fell and after you already had the opportunity to remove it from the public domain. So how so? So the Gemara expounds. So pligi b'shas nefila, they're arguing b'shas nefila, b'niskal poshea. They're arguing in the Metzias is, well, how did the jug get in Rishos HaRabim and had the water all get on the floor? Well, it happened because the guy was walking and then the guy stumbled. So the question is stumbling considered to be a pshia? If it's a pshia, he'd be chayev for any damage that his thing causes. If it's not a pshia, he'd be potter for any damage that his thing causes. So they're arguing b'shas nefila b'niskal poshea. So mar savar niskal poshea hu, mar savar niskal la poshea hu. One man diyamar holds that Rav Meir says that one who trips is a poshea. However, according to Rav Yehuda, a person is not liable for stumbling because niskal is not poshea. Therefore, he's only liable if he deliberately broke the pitcher in the street. That's what the Mishnah means by miskave. Not like we said earlier that he intended that he tripped while removing the pitcher from his shoulder. Rather, that the guy literally intended to break the pitcher in the street. Again, the machlokas would be Rav Meir says niskal is poshea, therefore the guy's chayiv if he so much as tripped. However, Rav Yehuda says that niskal is not poshea, and therefore the guy's only chayiv if he intentionally broke his pitcher in the Rishos HaRabim. Now, pligi ba'achar nefila. Now, they're also arguing in the case of after nefila, after the object falls and is sitting in Rishos HaRabim, is a person going to be chayiv for damage caused by the object? But mafkir niskav, now we're arguing about the halacha in a case of mafkir niskav, one who was mafkir his object in the middle of the street, and then that object causes damage. So marsavar mafkir niskav chayev. So Rav Meir would say that Rameyer would say that mafkir niskav, that even if you are mafkir the thing that fell into the street and that thing damages something, you are still going to be chayev. Why? Because Rashi explains the template for Rav Meir's view is a bar. Now, what's a bar? A bar is hefker, but one is chayev for damage inflicted by the bar. Now, since the law of an object left in the street is derived from a bar, so too is chayev for damage caused by those things, even if he was mafkir the thing. However, Umar Savar Potter, Rav Yehuda says that you're Potter in the case of Mafkir Niskav. Aye, what about the case of a bar? I thought a bar is Hefker, yet you're Chayah for damage caused by your bar. So why wouldn't you be Chayah for damage caused by these other things that you're Mafkir? So Rashi explains that Rav Yehuda says that the bar, Chiddush, that the bar referred to in the Torah is one that has an owner. How does a person own the bar? I thought the bar is Hefker. Well, what happened was the person dug a pit on his property. He was then mafkir the property surrounding the bar, but he wasn't mafkir the bar itself. Therefore, he's chayev for the bar in the Torah. However, according to Rav Yehuda, had he been mafkir the actual bar itself, a person would be putter for damage caused by the bar, because a person is putter for damage if he was mafkir niskav. That's the machlokas. Rav Meir, who says chayev, Rav Yehuda, who says putter. So says the Gemara, umimai, and how do we know this? Medektoni tarti, because we have two cases here. Huchlak ekad b'mayim, it says that if a person either slipped on the water, o shalaka b'charsis, or he was injured by a shard of this broken jug. Sahainu hach, why do I need two examples of how the person was damaged? Why don't we just say, the jug broke in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, somebody came along and was damaged. Why do I need two different descriptions here of the damage that may have been caused by the jug? Say, Elalav Hachi Kamar, isn't this what we're talking about? Huchlach Echad B'mayim is Bishas Nefila. The case where the guy tripped on the water, that's referring to the Machlokes, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, whether a person's Chayav Bishas Nefila at the time of the fall. Osha Laka Bakharslis Laakar Nafila, or the case where the guy was injured with the shard, that's talking about a case where the guy's jug broke in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. He neglected to clear it from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and that's talking about the case of Mafkir Niskav. That's talking about the case of Laakar Nafila, where the guy was damaged by the object after he had an opportunity to remove it, but instead of removing it, he was just Mafkir it. Tosva says that it's mistaber that the Gemara could have reversed this also. It could have said that the case where he was injured by the shard was Bishas Nefila, the case where he was injured by the water was Lachar Nefila, but Tosfos says it's much more mistaber that the guy is going to be mafgir, the worthless shards of pottery, than it is that he would be mafgir, the water, because the water, he wouldn't be mafgir, he could mop it up and put it in another vessel and continue using the water. So says the Gemara now, Medemasnisim Batarti, from the fact that the Mishnah is talking about two different cases, as we've established, Bishas Nefila and La'achar Nefila. So Brice Nami Batarti, so the Brice is also talking about two cases. So says the Gemara, Bishlama Kado Mishkachas La O Bishas Nefila O La'achar Nefila. Bishlama, I understand. Well, the Brice had told me about two things. The Brice had told me about a case where the guy's walking with a jug, and the jug breaks, and then the shard of pottery is in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It also told me that the guy was walking with his camel. His camel falls, and then he leaves his camel in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. He is not maimed his camel. So I understand that his kad, that the case of the jug, it's mishkachas lo, o b'shas nefila, o la'achar nefila. Ela gamlo, however, his camel, it's a bishlam la'achar nefila. I understand la'achar nefila, mishkachas lo, b'mafkir nevloso, where the guy's camel fell in the street. He never collected the camel. He never took it out of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Rather, he was mafkir the nevela of the camel that was now left in the middle of the street, and somebody tripped over that nevela, and the nevela caused damage. Ela b'shas nefila, but how would we have a case of Shas Nefila? In other words, the whole concept of being Mechayev by Shas Nefila is based on the Machlokas, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, is Niskala Poshea or not? Is stumbling considered to be a Pshia? But the stumbling considered to be a pshia only makes sense for a person. You could say that a person is a thinking being. The person should watch out where he's going. And therefore, even if the person so much as stumbles, it's considered to be a pshia. But if the guy's walking an animal and the animal stumbles, you're going to say that it's a pshia that the animal stumbled? The animal's an animal. It doesn't know where it's going. It doesn't know whether it's stumbling or not. How can it be held to that level of culpability? So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Acha, going to Avra B'maya Derech Sharasa Denara. That let's say that you were leading the animal along the swollen riverbanks, and therefore the issue is whether the owner is not that the animal is a poshea in slipping. Obviously, the animal is not going to be a poshea if it stumbles. The question is the owner of the camel who was walking the camel along the swollen riverbanks where the water had flooded the riverbank and where the path was not visible, so you were walking a camel on terrain that was not visible, is that owner liable? Is that considered to be a pshia for walking a camel on that type of terrain? So, hey, chedami, well, what's the case here? Idi kadarka achrine, if there's another way to go, and you nevertheless go the way of the swollen riverbank where you can't see the ground, then pasheu, then you're considered to be a pasheya. Vidaleka darka achrine, and if there is no other way, then anasu. So what's the guy to do? You can't say that the guy's liable for walking his camel on that path, because there is no other path on which he could walk. Zala meshkachas la de iskil viskale bay gamla. That the case is where the owner tripped and then the camel stumbled over the owner. So if you want to ask me, how's there a case of shas nafila by a camel? How can I hold a camel liable for tripping? The answer is I'm holding the owner liable for tripping. Why? Because the only reason the camel tripped is the camel tripped over the owner. So if the owner is going to be liable for tripping, then he would also be liable for any derivative damage that his camel causes if it tripped over him. If the owner is not liable for tripping, then he's not going to be liable for any damage caused by the camel who tripped over the owner. And then Mafkir Niskov, in the case of Mafkir Niskov, Maimis Kavinika, what type of kavana is there? Some Rav Yosef, so says Rav Yosef, b'miskavein liskos b'charseh, where you were miskavein to be zoche in the shards of pottery. So in other words, Rav Yehuda said at the end of the Mishnah that if you were miskavein, then you're going to be chayiv. So what does it mean that you were miskavein? What it means that you were miskavein to be koneh the stuff that you left in Rosh Hashanah Rabin. Therefore, it's not ownerless. Since you were miskavein to be koneh, you'd be chayiv for damage caused by it. So v'chein amar Ravashi b'miskavein liskos b'charseh, where you were miskavein to be zoche in the shards of pottery. So Rav Elazar amar b'shas nefila machlokas. Rav Elazar says that no, the machlokas is only b'shas nefila. Avala achra nefila mai. However, after nefila mai, divrei akol potter. Everybody would say that you're a potter. I va'ikra meir demechayev. Well, what do you mean? Everybody says the Rav Meir had said that you're chayev for damage caused la'achar nefila because mafkir niskav is going to be chayev, just like you're chayev for damage caused by your ownerless bar. So how could you say that by la'achar nefila everybody agrees that you're potter? So elamai divrei akol chayev. So elamai, what does it mean divrei akol chayev? Everybody agrees that you're chayev. But elamai divrei akol chayev. Elamai that by la'achar nefila everybody would agree that you're chayev. How could he say chayev? Aika rabbanan de patre. But there's a shita of the rabbanan who argue on Rav Meir who say that you're potter for damage caused by your thing if you were mafkirit la'achar nefila. Elamai b'shas nefila. So what does it mean? Elamai b'shas nefila. So what does it mean that by b'shas nefila there's a machlokes? Not to say that la'achar nefila is a divrei akol. La'achar nefila is also a machlokes. It's a machlokes Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. But af b'shas nefila. But it means that even b'shas nefila is a machlokes, v'kamash malanda abaye. And we prove from here, like the shita of Abaye had said again, just like the Mishnah was referring to two cases, one of b'shas nefila, one of la'achar nefila, so too the Braisa was dealing with two cases, one of b'shas nefila, one of la'achar nefila, and the machlokes, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, otherwise known as Rav Meir and the Chachamim, apply both the shas nefila and la'achar nefila in the case of mafkir niskav. Okay, chav tesam abeis. So flipping over. So Rav Yochanan says, La'achar nefila machlokes, that the machlokes is la'achar nefila, but in the case of mafkir niskav, avo b'shas nefila mai, however, b'shas nefila, what would the halacha be? Divrei akol potter. Everybody would say that you are potter. I, from the fact that Rav Yochanan says, Later on, now what's later on? Later on, Rashi says, is referring to a Mishnah on Daf Lamed Aleph, which discusses a case of two people walking in the Rishus HaRabim, where the first person stumbles, and then the second person stumbles over the first person. So the first person is liable for damage to the second person. And Rav Yochanan explains that this Mishnah could be referring to Hezek La'achar Nefila, and therefore isn't locked into the Shita of Rav Meir, who holds that stumbling is a Pshia. Don't say that the Mishnah is like Rav Meir. The Amar Niskal Poshea, who holds that Niskal is a Poshea, Mechlal Rav Meir Mechayev. So it's mashma from the fact that we're saying that this Brisa could be talking about a case of La'achar Nefila, and Rav Yochanan is saying, don't say that we're talking about a case of Bashas Nefila, and therefore we're locked into the Shita of Rav Meir. So it's mashma that at least Rav Meir would say, according to Rav Yochanan, that Bashas Nefila, you are Chayev. So how can you tell me that Rav Yochanan says that Bashas Nefila, everybody would say it's Potter? Selamai Divrei Akol Chayev. So what does Rav Meir? No, so what Rav Yochanan would say is that the Machlokas is only La'achar Nefila, but Bashas Nefila, everybody would say he is Chayev for damage caused Bashas Nefila. Says the Gemara, V'hamid the Kamar Rav Yochanan L'kaman, right, Rav Yochanan says later on, Lo tema masnisin Rav Meir hi damar niskal posheahu. Don't say that the Mishnah is only like Rav Meir who says that niskal is a poshea. Michlal de patri rabbanan. So it's, if Rav Yochanan is telling me, don't think that I'm locked into the shita of Rav Meir, it's obvious that the rabbanan argue on him. So you can't tell me that by shas nefila, it's Divrei Akol, either Divrei Akol Chayev or Divrei Akol Pater, because we see, obviously, that there's a machlokas Rav Meir and the Chachamim. The Rav Meir says that Niskal is Poshea, therefore you're going to be Chayev. The Chachamim say Niskal is Lav Poshea, therefore you're going to be Pater. Say Ela HaKamash Malan, the Mafkir Niskav, the Hacha, U de Patru Rabbanan de Onesu. So Elamai, this is what he means, that by Mafkir Niskav, in this case, that's where you're going to be Pater. That's where the Rabbanan are going to say that you're Pater. Why? Because he's an ones. So how is he an ones? He's an ones because he's a victim of stumbling, which the Chachamim view as an ones, as opposed to Rav Meir, who holds that stumbling is a pshia. However, if somebody deliberately threw an item into the middle of the street and then declared it hefker, everybody would agree that being mafker the item doesn't absolve the guy from liability. You can't cause damage and put people in a dangerous situation, then be mafker the thing intentionally, then be mafker the thing and expect that you're going to be absolved from liability. Avo mafker niskav di alma mechayev. However, if you do something purposely and put a hazardous object into the public domain and then attempt to evade liability by declaring the object hefker, that is not going to work. So Itmar says the Brisa like this. Mafkir Niskav, if a person is Mafkir Niskav, and Rashi says that either he deliberately put a hazardous item in Rishus HaRabim and declared it ownerless, or the object came to be in the Rishus HaRabim as a result of his Pshia, and then he made it Hefker. So Mafkir Niskav, Rav Yochanan, Rav Elazar, Chad Amar Chayev, one Shita says he's Chayev, V'chad Amar Pater, and one says he's Pater. So Lema Manda Mechayev K'Rav Meir, U'manda Pater K'Rav Banan. So let's say that one who's Mechayev him is like Rav Meir, and the one who paters him is like the Rabbanan. In other words, Rav Meir's template is bar, that it's Chayev for damage even though it's ownerless, and the one who says Pater is going to hold like the Rabbanan, a.k.a. Rav Yehuda, who said that the bar that the Torah is referring to when it says that you're chayav for damage caused by the bar is only when you own the bar, but you were mafkir the karka surrounding the bar. But if you were actually to be mafkir the bar, then it would be putter. So too here, where you're being mafkir the actual object, you'd be putter. So Aliba de Rav Meir, so says the Gemara like this. Aliba de Rav Meir, kuli yama lo pligi. Now, according to Rav Meir, nobody would argue. Ki pligi aliba de Rabbanan. They only are arguing within the sheet of the Chachamim. Man de Potar k'Rabbanan. The one the Amar says, Mafkar Niskav Potar is k'Rabbanan. It's like the Rabbanan, right, that the bar that the Torah refers to is one that is privately owned, but one that is Hefker, he'd be Potter. Well, man de Mechayev, and the one who says Chayev, Amar Lecha, he would say, Amar Lach, Ana Damri Afilu Rabbanan, I hold even like the Shita of the Rabbanan, Ad Kan Lepatru Rabbanan, Ela Mafkir Niskav, Tahacha Mishum De Onesu. No, the only time the Chachamim say that Mafkir Niskav is going to be Potter is only when the hazardous object found its way into the public domain as a result of Ones. Ava mafkir niskav the alma mechayev. However, in mafkir niskav the alma, where the thing came to be in the public domain as a result of pshia, it's going to be chayev. So it's a stayim to Rebbe Lezer. So let's conclusively prove that this shita is like Rebbe Lezer. The Amar Chayev, it's a stayim to Rebbe Lezer, Damar Chayev. We just saw machlokas Rav Yochanan and Rebbe Lezer. One says you're Chayev, one says you're Potter. So the Gemara is now saying, let's prove that Rebbe Lezer is the shita who says Chayev. Why? Damar Rebbe Lezer, Mishum Rebbe Shmal. Shnei Dvarim Eina Bershusa Shaladam, Vasona Kosav Kilo Ein Bershuso. There are two things that are not in the Rishus of a person, and the Torah views it. The Torah views it as if it is in his rishus. Veiluena, what are these things? Bar b'shus harabim. It's a bar b'shus harabim. V'chametz mishesho sulamala. Even though chametz mishesho sulamala on Erev Pesach is ownerless, you're chayiv for bal yiroa bal yimatzah. Also, bar b'shus harabim. Even though the bar is ownerless, you're going to be chayiv for nezek caused by the bar. So therefore, if the Torah makes it as if it's in your rishus, it's obvious that Rav Elazar is the one who holds that even if you're mafkir the nezakim, even if you're mafkir the nezak and it's like a bar, it's still going to be chayiv because the Torah views it as if it's in your rishus. So testayim. So says the Gemara. Mi amar Rav Elazar haki, but did Rav Elazar actually say this? Vamar Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar said the opposite. Tnan, if a person is shoveling around dung in Rishus Harabim, and somebody else is damaged by the dung, then Chayev Benizko, he's going to be Chayev in the Nezek. Rav Elazar says, Lo Shanu Elashin Eskavein Liskos Behem. That's only when you're Meskavein to actually make a Kinyan. Avalon Eskavein Liskos Behem Potter. However, if you don't intend to make a Kinyan, you're going to be Potter. Alma Mafker Niskov Potter. Alma, we see that Mafker Niskov is going to be Potter. That if you don't have in mind to acquire the object, you're going to be putter for damage caused by the object. So, the reason that you're putter is because you return the dung to its previous resting place, and therefore, he can't be said to have caused the hazardous condition. He found dung in a certain place, he was shoveling it around, but ultimately he returned it to where he found it. So he didn't cause the hezek, he found the hezek there. Yeah, he moved it, but then ultimately he moved it right back to where it was, but he can't be said to have caused the hezek. So Maravina, Mashal Deravada Barahava Lamar Davadoma, so what is this like? Lamotzi Bar Magula, it's like a case where a person finds an exposed pit, V'chiseyu, and then he covers the pit, V'chazar V'gileyu, and then he goes and reveals the pit again. So in other words, the fact that he revealed the pit again, he's not going to be chayev for the pit because he didn't dig the bar. He found the bar. Yeah, he covered it. If he was a good guy, he would have left it covered. But you can't be mechayev him for keeping the pit in the same state in which he found it. So Amar Leimar Zutra, Braid Ramari Laravina, me dummy? It's not at all like that. Hasam lo istalik lu maisa rishon, hacha istalik lu maisa rishon. Over there in the case of the pit, where the guy found the exposed pit, covered it, and then uncovered it, the first maisa, in other words, the digging of the pit, remains there. Here, the first maisa was bringing the zevel to that place in Rishus Harabim. This guy then moved the zevel, then he brought it back. So this guy undid the first maisa and then redid it, so he should be chayiv. So holo dummy, ela lamotzi bar magula vitimima, this is like one who finds an open pit, then he fills the pit, the chazar v'chafra, and then he goes and digs the pit again. This salkulu ma'isa rishon, where he undid the ma'isa rishon, v'kaimele b'rshuso, and now it's sitting in his rishus. He should be chayiv for it. Elam ravashi kishavcha l'pachas mishlosha. So we're not talking about a case where the guy moved it back to the first place. It's not considered like as if he had done a hagbah because he picked it up less than three tvachim, and therefore he can't be said to have moved it from its original position. Now, if he didn't remove it from its original position, then it's like a case where the guy found an uncovered pit, covered it, and then uncovered it again, he's not considered to be responsible for the original damage. Why was Rav Elazar forced to interpret this as if it to be a situation where he picked up the dung less than three tefachim off the ground? V'taima dechin eskavein liskos ba ha'em eskavein liskos ba lo luk me lamayla me gimel. Why don't we deal with a case where the guy guy is picking up the zevel higher than 3 tefachim off the ground, and even though he didn't have kavana to be zoche, he's going to be chayev. Why don't we say we're talking about that? So Amarava masnisan kshise, because he had a kasha from our Mishnah. So my Iri hafach lisnei hegbia. Why does it have to say? Why does it have to say that he was hofech the gola? That he was hofech the dung? The dung. Let's just say that he picked up the dung. So in other words, if this was all about just picking up the dung and being kone, it could have said magbia. Rather, it says hafach. Elosh mamina kol hafach lamata mishloshahu. That any type of haficha is lamata mishalosh, is going to be less than 3 tefachim. Is going to be less than 3 tefachim off the ground, and that's why. And that's why Rav Elazar has to be dealing with a case of where he picked the dung up less than three tefachim off the ground, and we're debating whether it's considered to be as if he just put the stuff back in the place where he found it, or if it's considered to be where he moved it to a different place. So let's stop here. We'll pick up here tomorrow, and we're going to explain the shita of Rav Yochanan, who is the Bar Plukta to Rav Elazar in this brisa.